At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
What is up, everybody? I'm George Massey. This is the George Massey Show, the pop culture podcast. Another week of insane pop culture moments that we are living through. Gina is here. Hello, Gina.
Hello, hello.
So there's been some new developments. Remember last week when we ended the show, we were hoping that no more celebrities would pass away. I don't think that we are reporting any more celebrities passing away, which is good. That doesn't mean that no one else didn't pass away, unfortunately. But, you know, it was a very, very rough week that week. There was a lot going on and a lot of shocking big name people. So we're not going to be talking about any of that, but there will be some interesting topics we're going to get into. So the viral video, I know that you saw it because Justin Timberlake was doing a performance. I think it was somewhere overseas, maybe London.
It was in Europe.
Oh, in Europe. And the viral video of Justin was he started the song and then put the microphone on the floor and let the crowd sing. Now, I know you go to a lot of concerts, and so do I, you know, but not as many as you. and it's not completely unheard of for an artist to say you sing, put the mic down, and have the crowd sing. So when you saw, wait, first question, have you seen Justin Timberlake live in concert before?
I've not.
So I have more than once. So I've seen him a few times. I think I saw the Future Sex Loves whatever tour. And then I saw him again on a different tour, and I can't remember the name of it. Now, I do remember he put on a good show from what I remember. But I do remember, I think the Future Sex Love Sounds tour, I left early because after the third hour, there was like no end in sight. So like he was still singing. The show was still in full swing. And after the third hour, it was pushing midnight. I was like, we should go. I was like, he doesn't want to stop performing. So when I saw that video, Gina, of him and the way that he was lazily performing, right? But like what people were saying, it's like, that doesn't seem like him, you know, because he usually put on a really good show. Like he's never been a lazy performer. And, you know, there are some artists out there, you know, that they're a little lazy in their performances. They don't necessarily give their all at every show. And don't get me wrong, I'm a Mariah Carey fan, but there's a lot of videos out there where Mariah gives us absolutely nothing. You've seen these videos, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like she's like walking on the stage, or in some of the videos, Gina, Mariah has them carry her across the stage. She doesn't even want to walk. So, but when I saw this video, I was like, that doesn't seem like Justin. And we found out the reason why that was, and it's because Justin has Lyme disease. Now, we're going to do a little deep dive because, you know, I'm not familiar with what Lyme disease is because it's not something that I hear spoken of a lot. So Lyme disease is a bacterial infection spread through the bite of an infected black leg tick, also known as a deer tick. And it can cause a range of symptoms from characteristic rashes, flu-like symptoms, to more serious complications affecting the joints, nervous system, and the heart if left untreated. So it's pretty serious. And what's really, really interesting about this is other celebrities, performers have also been diagnosed with this. Notably, Justin Bieber announced that he was suffering from Lyme disease, as well as years ago. Remember, there was a singer and she had the Skater Boy song and Hey, Hey.
Avril Lavigne.
I don't like your girlfriend, Avril Lavigne. And then she was kind of everywhere and then nowhere. So while she was nowhere, she eventually came out to the public and said that she was suffering from Lyme disease. And she said that for months at a time, she wouldn't leave the bed or her home because it was such a debilitating illness. And my first question is, how do you get bit by a blackleg tick? Like, I guess if you have dogs, but most dogs don't carry ticks, right, Gina? Because in order for a dog to carry ticks, it would have to be an outside dog. Because if you have an inside dog, I don't know how it would, you know, bring a tick into your home. So do you think it's normal? So wait, Gina, do you have a dog?
No, I don't, unfortunately.
I don't have a dog either. And but I'm just really curious to know, is this like a normal thing, like for ticks to go? Because I know ticks will be on a dog, I guess a cat too. But is it normal for them to detach from the animal and attach to a human?
Like, is I would think so, because it's just like almost like what's it, bed bugs? Because they'll hop, right? So it's kind of like a flea almost.
That's insane. I think so. I'm reading a few things, like the cause of it and stuff. And I was reading how it spread, you know, because I want to get a little more understanding. And it says the tick must be attached to the skin for a certain amount of time to transmit bacteria, which is typically 36 to 48 hours. So next question. If a tick is attached to you for 2 days, how would you not know? Like, if a mosquito bites me, I know instantly that there's something sucking my blood. So, like, I'm really, like, does a tick
but
bite not?
Like, for me personally, like, I have, like, I have 4 mosquito bites on me right now. Did I feel them bite me? No.
You didn't
feel them. No. That's the thing with me and mosquito bites. I can never feel them when they attack me. I can only feel it the aftermath because I'm, like, swelling up.
That's so interesting because I can feel the bites like instantly.
No,
so I guess
not
it,
me.
It, I guess it depends on the person, because it says that in order for them to transmit the bacteria to the bloodstream, they have to be attached to you for 36, 40 hours. So let's say a tick bites you and you notice it right away, you smack it, you remove it, you will not be infected. So this is not an easily spread disease, because it says Lyme disease is not spread through casual contact like touching or kissing. And it's more common in high tick population areas such as Northeast, Mid-Atlantic, and upper Midwestern states. So I'm
but
assuming.
Here's some other people that have it. There's Alec Baldwin. There's Ben Stiller. There's Shania Twain. We mentioned Avril Lavigne and Justin Bieber. There's so many people in the industry. Amy Schumer. So there's a lot of people that actually have it.
That is just so.
Debbie Gibson.
That's so crazy to me that there's so many people who have it. And I'm assuming all of these people have dogs, because I can't imagine that you would be infected with something like this if you don't have a dog. And I know that for a lot of people, dogs are part of their family. They're their children. They're people to them. So if you have a dog sleeping in your bed with you, or sitting on your lap every day watching TV, it's very possible if it had a tick, the tick could be on you or whatever. But it's just, I don't know. It's really crazy that such big name people, millionaires, billionaires, such powerful people are getting infected by this disease. And it's so debilitating, because Justin said in his interview that he was performing through excruciating pain. Just to stand and to move, because it says it affects your joints, that he was that performance that people were critiquing and saying, oh, he's lazy, he's old, blah, blah. He said that he was in so much pain, what he was doing was almost enough to make him pass out.
Glad he brought it up, because then like people are paying like $300 and then they're being led under false pretenses. They're going to see Justin Timberlake and they saw him, but he wasn't giving his 100%. But now these people know why.
Yeah, I do think transparency is good. So I have a question, because there was a country artist, I think his name is Luke Bryan. And he was recently on tour, and he's suffering from some health issues. And he was doing a show and he had to leave the stage and he had to stop performing due to some health issues. And he came back out and he announced to the crowd that he was going to finish the show, but he was giving everyone a refund because he felt that he wasn't his best. Now, my question is, do you think that Justin should give everybody their money back for that show? Or do you think that he feels he performed enough that everyone should pay? Because at the end of the day, people are paying to see you at your best. And if you don't tell them you're not at your best, they are under the assumption you're going to be at your best. So I know Luke Bryan was like, well, I'm not at my best. You didn't get the show you deserved. So I'm going to continue the show. It's not going to be my best work. And I'm going to give everybody a refund of whatever they paid for the ticket. And I thought that that was a really stand-up thing to do, because at the end of the day, people support you and they love your music and they show up for you. And I know that celebrities are real people, right? Like, they're real people. They have real issues. They have real medical conditions. But when you charge somebody $300, $400, $500 a person to see you, they're gonna want you to do what they expect of you. And that's to perform and to entertain. And if you're not at your best, it's probably not good to be out on tour. And I think a lot of this has to do with the music industry, where a lot of times, especially mental health too, artists won't be in a good mental place, but the promoters and the managers will still have them out on the road. I think Britney Spears was a really good example of that. Like, she was in no way ready to be out performing, but the people around her saw her as a way to make a whole bunch of money. So they were like, oh yeah, Britney, you're gonna go on tour, you're gonna keep touring, even though she was not okay. They looked at it as, well, as long as 30,000 people will buy a ticket, we're going to put her on the stage, whether she's okay or not. And we don't know if that's what's going on with Justin or what. We don't know if Justin was performing because he had to, if he has a lot of bills. Because I think we were talking about this on the last episode. These boy bands spend a lot of money, Gina. Like, they have like private jets, they have like vacation homes and multiple homes. Like, they live a lavish lifestyle. So it makes you wonder, because Justin, he's been in the game for so long. He's put out so many solo albums and done so many tours. You would think he didn't need to do anymore. He's fine, right? Like, he would have a lot of money. Just like I said about the Backstreet Boys. Is there a reason why the Backstreet Boys should still be performing? You know they got a lot of money. Like, they've been doing this for 35 years, and they are on tour like at least 8 or 9 months out of every year that has passed since they've come out. So it makes you wonder, why was he on tour? Why was it so important that he performed through such a debilitating condition? And that's what makes me worry, because celebrities, a lot of times, they're not treated like human beings. They're treated like a financial mechanism that helps generate revenue. So if he's in that type of pain, I would hope he doesn't have to be on stage and he can, focus on getting better and getting treatment. But at the same time, I don't know why he was on stage. I don't know if he has bills. I don't know if he's working towards something. Like, I don't know what's going on in his life.
It could have been just contracts that were signed, and then if he didn't oblige by those contracts, then he would have to pay the fine, right? So who
Well,
knows?
yeah, that's true. When you sign like a contract saying you'll perform on so many different dates and you're guaranteeing money in that contract, yeah, if he broke it, he would have to pay whoever he signed that contract a whole bunch of money. And maybe he's like, I don't have that type of money to give away. But I worry about celebrities more because I just feel like they have such a really hard life. And I know people are going to argue with me, like, oh, being rich and famous and having everything you want is difficult. But at the end of the day, do they really have the people that really care about them and care about their well-being? And sometimes I feel like they don't have that, because when you're known as someone that can bring in 20 or 30,000 people at a time for one show, they don't care if you feel good that day, if you're in your best mental health state, the people around you are going to want you to get on that stage no matter what. And that's worrisome, right? Like, it's worrisome because everybody has a bad day. Sometimes, Gina, we wake up and we're just not feeling it that day. right? Everybody goes through that. But when you're Justin Bieber or Justin Timberlake or Katy Perry or Taylor Swift, you don't really get that. You still have to perform and pretend that you're fine. So I do worry about people that don't really have that type of
They
leeway.
don't get sick days.
Right. You know, like they don't have a sick day. You can't call off. Like, you know how if you, even if you're not sick, regular people do it all the time. They're like, well, I just don't feel like going to work. And they just call in sick. Taylor Swift can't call in sick. There's like 30 or 40,000 people waiting for her to come out. You can't just call in sick. You know, it's going to cause a huge uproar and disruption in so many people's lives if you do that. Because especially artists like Justin and, well, both Justins, Taylor, Ariana Grande, people fly to see you. Like, Gina, you know this. You'll fly to a concert. The concert won't be anywhere near you. So can you imagine if you flew to a concert and then once you get to the venue right before the show, they decide they don't want to perform and they cancel? That would disrupt so many people's lives.
Yeah, I wouldn't be a happy camper, but you know, right? That's what insurance is for.
Well, yeah, when you're gonna travel to a show, you're right. You have to buy your trip insurance, your ticket insurance, just because the unpredictable nature of this type of business. Oh, so you were telling me you were watching this Netflix documentary that I also watched. It's called Amy Bradley Is Missing, and it's on Netflix. And it involves something that you know I'm very, very, very scared of, and it's a cruise ship. And I have always said, Gina, that cruise ships are like a sailing bad situation waiting to happen. I've always said it, and this one didn't sink because, Gina, you have always told me that they don't sink. That has always been what you've told me. You are like, you are more likely going to be bit by a yellow jacket than you're gonna be on a boat that sinks. And again, this one didn't sink, but there was a girl. Her name was Amy Bradley, who was on a cruise ship, the Rhapsody of the Seas, with her family. And I think this was 25 years ago or something along the
It
lines.
was.
Yeah, so March 1998, she was on this boat and she literally vanished into thin air. And it's one of those stories that always intrigues everyone that hears it. So I want to say this wasn't the first time that I have ever heard her name. I want to say around the time that this happened, I did hear something about it. But the Netflix documentary, it was so interesting because they had a photo of a girl that they think is Amy Bradley. And it was around the area where she disappeared from. Somewhere from the Caribbean islands or somewhere out there, and it looked like her with longer hair, and it was on a website where women were, it was like a prostitution website where you go on and there were different women. And with all of the technology that we have, they weren't able to locate the girl from this website, which I think is crazy because I was like, well, if it's a prostitution website, couldn't the FBI like go on the website and try to purchase a time with this girl? And then, like, when they tell them where to go, do a sting and save these women. Because technically, even if they aren't being trafficked, they shouldn't be doing this. And God forbid if it's against their will. But for some reason, they were never able to determine if the girl in that photo was her, even though a photo analysis person said that the photo appeared, in their opinion, to be an age progressed photo of Amy Bradley. So I don't even know what to think because I told you, Gina, I ain't getting on no cruise ship. There is no way. And this girl got on this cruise ship with her brother and her mom and her dad. And she never got, well, I'm assuming she did get off the cruise ship, but we don't know what happened to her after that. And I was watching the documentary, and her family is still suffering to this day. Like, we're 25 years ahead, and they still have no answers. And I think that's what really is intriguing because if she is alive, people keep saying, is it possible that she could ever just reach out? Because did you see there was a part of the documentary where they had a website that they started, where people could go and see all of the tips and information that has been brought in over the years. And they said that someone from the Caribbean islands would spend on like holidays, Christmas, birthday of the mom, and other times
The
that were.
IP address, yeah.
Yes. And they said they would spend a specific amount of time, like 30 to 45 minutes, on pictures of the mom or pictures of the dad, pictures of the brother or pictures of the family at Christmas. And they're like, it's almost like she's watching what's going on with her family. And they're like, well, if she has the internet and she's able to look at this website, why wouldn't she just click on the contact us part of it and say, hey, I'm okay. I'm not saying that she has to would be able to say where she is. We don't know who's monitoring her, but a lot of people have so many questions, right? Because what the first thing that they determined was that they thought she jumped overboard. And a lot of people were like, well, that's a discredible statement because she had her own apartment that she got. She was going to school. She had a lot of plans. You know, it wouldn't make sense for someone to just jump overboard, right? So I have so many theories on this. Like, well, what do you think actually happened? Because a lot of people are saying that she never left the boat. She jumped over the side. Do you believe that theory?
I don't like, I saw the documentary and I always like to play devil's advocate, right? So I'll always look at it at all angles, right? So they're like saying like, well, she could have swam, like it was close enough to the shore or whatnot. She could have swam. Yeah, she could have done that, but I'm having a feeling because in the interview, like there were so many like workers like on the cruise ship that were like showing her love, showing her like admiration, showing that she was being adored by these people on the boat. And like there's so many theories and there's so many people that said that, oh, they saw her here and like at so and so place, right? Or they saw her in a bathroom stall, or they saw her on the beach with two guys, right? So like I'm leaning towards that more because the facial recognition from that website, like the just the structure of like the bone structure and the ear, like just everything, like the like how it hasn't changed. Like those things about somebody can't change. You can change your hair, you can change your eye color, but you can't change your ears or your jawline. And I'm like, that's it. Like that's her. Like that's a spitting image of her, basically. So I'm kind of on the fence. I know like she was saying like she came out as a lesbian, which fine by me, but in being like from someone who in the South, right? And from her family, it seemed like it was a taboo for them. So I think it was maybe an escape as well at the same time for her as well.
So you think that she ran away?
I do think that, but she just ran away. Like, I think she ran away thinking with these people because they did, one of the daughters of the band, the musicians, called her dad up and he was being very abrasive with his own daughter on the phone. And like, I think he guaranteed her, like, I'll keep you safe, blah, 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 blah. Like, you can get away from this, like what you're going through. And like, he led her to believe like she was going to be in a safe space when really it wasn't.
See, this is an interesting theory because the family feels that she had no reason to leave or to run away. But we found out that she had broken up with her girlfriend right before she went on the cruise, remember? So that can be very emotional to go through, right? And we found out that there was a relationship ending before that, and then she wouldn't take the girlfriend's calls, and the girl, I think she or and no, Amy sent her a message in a bottle, I believe, because she wouldn't they couldn't get a hold of each other. And so she was definitely going through the breakup situation, and there was a lot going on in her life. And you know, going away to school might seem really like exciting for some people, but sometimes when you're so used to having your family and being taken care of and then going out on your own, that can be a very scary thing as well. Like, because she went from having the support of her parents, the support of, you know, her local community, to she was going away to school and doing things on her own. That can be very stressful too, because when everything is on you and you don't have that sense of a back
support.
Yeah, that could be too. So I'm not against her running away, because I know her family's completely against it. They're like, oh, she would never do that. She wanted to be here. She had every reason to be here. I definitely think you're onto something, because I don't know if I feel like she was trafficked, only because people have seen her and she had the opportunity to tell people, or even like given a sign, like, because, you know, there are times where people might be at a gas station or they might be at a certain public place and they'll see someone and they try to give you like visual cues that they're not okay. But without saying anything at all. But every time people saw her, she didn't really give off anything like, please save me, or I want to go home. It doesn't necessarily mean that she was happy where she was, but it definitely didn't look like she wanted anyone to come and save her, which I think is really odd to me, because there are people who said that they saw her. And I want to say one of the women that saw her in the bathroom said that she even said her name was Amy.
Yeah.
And even said the state that she lived in. But she never mentioned anything along the lines of she was against her will, or she didn't want to be where she was, or she needed help. And I think that that's really odd.
And I think she might have had, because in that interview that they did, or the woman when she was interviewed, she heard something. She had asked, oh, can we go see this person that she encountered in the washroom, who was also named Amy, said to the guys that were waiting for her outside, if they can go see the kids. And she was all happy that she was able to go see the kids. So I think she's had kids now too.
See, that's really interesting, Gina, because we know that she had come out as a lesbian. So the
Yeah, but if you're
idea.
forced trafficking and stuff like that, like, you have no choice, basically.
Well, right. She wouldn't have her preference in partners. So it's, I don't know. Like you said, you might be onto something. She may have been told one thing, like, oh, I can provide you a safe space where you can be away from your family, away from the life that you're running from now. And when she got there, maybe she was trafficked. It's not
exactly
what she was told, because her family knows that she wouldn't have went into this situation knowing what was happening, right? Like, no one does that. I think that they, and that guy, the one you're referring to, the musician on the boat, the way that he spoke of the situation and the way that he talked to his daughter, there's something there. And, you know,
exactly.
We can't know exactly what he's hiding or what he knows that he won't speak of, but the way that he gets upset, you know, that's how lie detectors work, Gina. Like, when you ask someone a question, they base it on the way your blood pressure and your heart rate rises. And when you are asked a question that makes you upset or makes you feel uncomfortable or uneasy, the lie detector can pick up on that. And when you're lying or you're nervous, that usually brings up
your
deception.
Tone and your expression tells it all, right? And
Yes.
Like, and how he was acting towards his daughter said it all.
And
His own
do you
daughter.
Remember? Do you remember the daughter said that she found a box, in her dad's closet, or a suitcase
with her photos,
with photos of not just Amy Bradley but other Caucasian women.
Yes,
that's very strange. Why would you have photos of this woman, but not just this woman, but other Caucasian women? Because remember, where they are, the part of the world where they are, that country, Caucasian people are not very common. Okay? So it's not somebody that you would see every day unless they're a tourist, right? Because the people that live on that island, they all tend to be of a certain nationality. So it's very strange that it was just Caucasian women, younger women. And in this, and for me, there's so many different red flags. And I know that the police and the FBI, they have to work on leads and information, and they can't make assumptions. Because obviously, when I heard about the photographs, I immediately wanted them to go and arrest him. But I know that's not how the law works. You have to have probable cause. Mm-hmm. It's not illegal to have a photo of a person, right? No. Like, that's not a crime. It definitely will make you wonder why.
A suspect. Yeah.
Correct. And but the FBI definitely spoke to him and they said that he was weird, but they didn't have anything to charge him with a crime. And that it's just so unfortunate because I feel like whatever she's going through, it's probably something that no one should go through. And the family, you know, living so many years not knowing, you know, I can't imagine what that's like, because you know what a lot of people say? They would just, if someone is missing and they never find the body, a lot of times a family would say, I just wish I could find them so I could put them in a grave and so they can rest. And they know, I know that they're at peace, you know, because after a while, a lot of times the families are like, well, I'm not expecting to find them alive. I just want to put them, you know, in a peaceful place where I know that they can rest. And, you know, for a family not knowing where they are or what happened to them, that has to be so, it has to really drain your soul, right? I know a lot of times when people go missing, the parents usually die at a younger age because, you know, mm-hmm. what they say, worrying takes years off your life. You know, when you're constantly worried and wondering what's going on or what happened to someone, it's true. Worrying is definitely something that can take years off your life. And unfortunately for her family, they've gotten no answers. And I think with the documentary I was just reading, there was a lot of new leads, a lot of new information. But the FBI said that, you know, each time they get a lead, you know, it's a process. You have to investigate the lead, interview the person, and try to go based on that information. And each lead takes time to try to substantiate. So I really hope that they're able to find her. And if she's alive, even if she, I don't know, if she's where she wants to be, I think her family should, they deserve to know, right? Like, say, for instance, that she ran away. They deserve to know that she's not hurting or trafficked or in a situation that's horrible. Because there are stories that I've read online where somebody abandoned their family, their husband, their wife, their kids. They just left. And they left that huge burden of worry on everyone. And they just wanted to leave. You know, and I think that's so unfair. Like, it's so unfair to not give people the heads up. You know, and I know it's hard, but those people are now wondering, where's my mom? Where's my dad? Where's my husband? Where's my wife? And they just wanted to restart life somewhere else. And now all of these people are worried and thinking something happened to them. And I saw a story recently. Somebody was missing for like 20 years. And then their family found out that they were alive and well, just living in another part of the country or world, and just didn't want to talk to them anymore. And I was thinking, like, man, that's horrible, because I'm sure the family has been looking for them this whole time.
But sometimes it's just like, you don't want to be found. And I think in her case, I think that's what happened, because like she was having a from what one of her exes said, or her high school ex had said, that the parents were not approving of the relationship and like not approving of her lifestyle choices, and that can be a big burden on her or anyone, basically, of not being accepted, like, just because you have different opinions on, like, it's not a man and a woman, you're in love with a woman, and that's fine, right? And they weren't accepting of it, and that can take a toll on a lot of people's, like, mentally as well.
That's true. She went from a tight-knit family, because they showed a lot of the backstory of how she came up, and she was a basketball player, and her family was very supportive of her in sports. And so she looked at it as, what if I was to lose that support of the family that she had? And, you know, that was a huge part of her life. Everything that she ever did, her mom was very supportive. And now, say, for instance, she came out, and her mom started to show less support and less love. And I think it's really important that parents understand that when you become a parent, it's unconditional love that you need to give that child. And if you're not ready to love someone unconditionally, I don't think you're ready to be a parent. Because a lot of times parents will love their children as long as they go to the same the college that you want them to go to, they like the opposite gender that you want them to like, they do the religion you approve of, and it's like you can't put conditions on your love. And I think love has to be unconditional, especially when you're a parent. And this could have been something that she experienced. She had the unconditional love of her mother until she didn't. Until her mother and stepfather maybe found out that they didn't like the idea that she was a lesbian. And
Exactly. And they come from what seems like a very southern state, like a southern family, because they have a little bit of that southern state those accents there, Midwest type of accent, Kentucky, like wherever they're from, Texas or whatnot. They seem to have that mind frame and that point of view.
yeah, it's unfortunate. It's a really
Right.
interesting documentary, though. Like, I
It
was very.
is. If whoever hasn't watched it should watch it.
Yeah, if you haven't watched Amy Bradley Is Missing, it's on Netflix. It's the 25th anniversary, so this is when this is why they put out the documentary. But you could have missed it. This happened all the way back in 1998. You could have missed it. So if you did miss this story, it's probably one of the more chilling documentaries I've seen in a long time. Like, it
Yeah,
made my skin crawl. It was so chilling.
I was 15 when it happened.
Yeah, see, this was it's in it's always insane when things like this happen and they don't solve it, right? Like, they can't figure it out, because whenever you hear about those cold cases or a missing case, the person is, and it's never been solved. It kind of makes your skin crawl, because you're like, how can a person disappear or vanish into thin air with no sighting, no body, nothing? And it fathoms your mind, because you're like, I can't imagine how that could ever happen, but these things do happen. And then when you see these documentaries and you see how hard law enforcement has been working to solve it, and they're still unable to put the puzzle pieces together, it's just so intriguing.
Well, you know me in true crime and documentaries. I'm all for it. Like even international ones with like the English is dubbed, I still watch it because it will take me to different parts of the world. Like, oh, that happened there. Like, oh my God. Yeah.
I'm the same way. So, you know, I was watching these videos online, and there was a carnival ride, an amusement park ride out in Saudi Arabia. And it was one of those, like, how do you, it's like, what do you call these things? I can't think of the name now. It's kind of like a little circle, and then it spins,
Ferris wheel.
kind of like a Ferris wheel, but like, instead of it spinning clockwise, like, it spins. Oh my gosh. You swing up and down, you're sitting down, and you're strapped into the chairs. And these are very popular at carnivals. And there's a viral video of it goes up from side to side. So it's swaying from side to side, where you go all the way up on the side, then go all the way up on the other side. And this viral video from Saudi Arabia, this carnival ride kind of snaps in half like a twig, sending the riders directly into the concrete. And there's a lot of people that were injured. And Gina, you know, I like theme park rides. I like roller coasters, you know, but I'm gonna say this. I don't do carnivals, because carnivals are not the same as a theme park. A theme park doesn't move. It's always in the same space. There's a maintenance crew. There's people that maintain. And I think a ride that is cemented into the ground is a little more sturdy than a ride that you can put on a truck and drive away. I'm not saying that carnival rides are not safe, because that's a completely untrue statement, because they do have to pass safety regulations. Like, there are people that inspect these rides, and they are safe. I just feel carnival rides are held to a less rigorous standard because they're not cemented to the ground. They can move. And I think anything that's not permanently in place and can move is a little like if I was to get on a roller coaster that I know won't be there next week, I would feel a little less safe than I know of a roller coaster that's there forever, right? Like it's in the ground, it's not moving, it's maintained. Because each time you tear something down and put it back up, right? So take down and an assembly, who's to say the same person is doing that each time? So like you know how when you're on an airplane and before you take off, the captains will do a takeoff checklist. There are things that have to be checked and done before you put that plane in the air. So who's to say that the checklist of putting that ride back together each time is done by the same person and everyone is checking off each box, right? Like each time, like that's the type of stuff that I think about because I'm an overthinker. So, and I used to live in Ohio and there was an Ohio State Fair incident where one of the rides collapsed and some people passed away. And that it stuck with me because I was like, oh, I've been to the Ohio State Fair. I've rode rides at the Ohio State Fair. And one of the rides, it like this, it broke, landing. And I think one guy lost both of his legs. Another guy lost his life. And I was like, see, the carnival rides are different because have you ever seen the videos where it'll be like a ride that kind of swings from left to right, and then there'll be it'll kind of the feet will come off the ground and it looks like it's going to tumble over. Those videos are pretty popular as well for the carnival rides. And again, if it was not movable, that would never happen. You know, I think that it makes it more safe that the ride is cemented into the ground and can't go anywhere because there's no risk of tumbling over, falling over, snapping over, or high winds or anything compromising the structure. Because at the end of the day, in order for that ride to be mobile, it has to weigh a lot less than a ride that isn't mobile. And I think the less that it weighs, the more it compromises its structural integrity. Because I think the heavier the ride, it's harder for it to move or fall or break. Because the if it's I don't know. I don't know. I could be completely wrong. This could all be in my head too, Gina. I don't know. I just feel like safety in my head is probably different from the people that do safety inspections. But when I saw this video, it really made me think about it because you know I spend lots of time on rides and coasters and things like that, and you know that's a very scary feeling. I'll tell you a little story real quick. So I was riding a ride. It's called Hagrid's Motorbike Adventure, and we were on the ride, and the ride malfunctioned. And there's a spot in the ride where you're on the second level of a building, and you're on a motorbike. There's you, and then the person next to you is in like the little sidecar, and you're on the second floor, and then they do like a little spell, and then your motorbike falls from the second story to the first story, and it jumps from one track to the next track. So there's a track above that you're on, and then it falls down onto a track below you, and it's literally, you know, a full floor, that you fall. So the ride malfunctioned where we had jumped the track and we were sitting on the bottom track, and the next track above you, that's where the next car would come and it would drop where you're sitting. That's where we got stuck. So we got
Oh
stuck
dear.
there, and after about 10 minutes, they said your ride will begin shortly. It was fixed. And we never started moving, but we could hear the car above us on the second floor. And I was like, well, that one can't come because if it jumps the track, we're on the track. And I'm not usually scared, but when I could hear them above us, I got scared because I was like, well, what if that track doesn't know that we're sitting here and it drops the next set of cars on us? And I was scared, Gina. I'm not gonna lie. I was scared because when I heard them and we never started moving, I kind of started to freak out and I was like, can I wiggle myself out of here? Like that was my first thought because you're strapped in. And I was like, well, I'm not gonna let the car just drop on top of me. So I was like, do you think I'm thinking like, could I wiggle myself out so it would miss me? But right before they moved into that area, we moved out. But it was pretty scary, Gina. I'm not gonna lie to you. I'm not gonna sit here and lie. I was kind of scared. My heart was beating pretty quick.
I can only imagine. Like, we have an amusement park here. It doesn't move. And it runs from May to September, and they open it up for like Halloween, like Fright Night. So they'll have like a few rides open, some haunted houses, but like looking at like the manufacturers, like it's mostly like Australian manufacturer, like ride manufacturers. It's like Australia, Netherlands, Germany, right? So it's all these like big name corporations that I've never heard of the company's name, but I'm assuming in like, because you're in Europe, you have different stand, you have a higher standard, like even with foods and what's pr like even processing foods and stuff like that. You have a higher like standard, basically, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, yeah,
But
safety standards, you're right. They vary from country to country, right? And, some countries are not known for safety standards. For instance, we've seen some things that happened in Mexico with theme park rides, where remember that one story where the people were like stuck in the air for a really long time on some theme park ride during a thunderstorm? And they were like, I was like, well, why would that even be operating during a thunderstorm? Because safety standards vary depending on what country you're in. And you're
And I
right.
guess it depends on the manufacturer of the ride as well at the same time, right? Like most of the rides here is from like this company called, the manufacturer is called Zamperla, and it's an Italian manufacturer, right? So obviously Italians make good cars and like shoes and purses and clothes, so the manufacturing is going to be different.
Oh, so there was this TikTok video. All right, so backstory. Delta Flight DL56, it was an A330-900 from Salt Lake going to Amsterdam. It hit some intense mid-air turbulence, sending, so there's 275 passengers on board. Oh, I'm sorry, they were leaving from Salt Lake City to New Amsterdam. They had an emergency landing in in Minneapolis. Because of some turbulence, 275 people on board, 13 crew, 25 were hospitalized. Food carts and passengers were violently thrown during this turbulent event. So I wanted to ask you, because I know you fly a lot, have you ever experienced extreme turbulence on any of the flights you were on?
It's funny because the extreme turbulence that I encountered was when I was going, like, and it wasn't that bad, but I was just like in going to Vegas, and that's like a 2.5 hour flight from here, and that was like, I was like, holy shit, right? But it wasn't like things weren't flying around. I was just like, whoa. Right. Like I was just like, okay, great. Seatbelt sign is usually like on, but I guess it's just because when I came back, when I was go going and coming back from Vegas, there was like, because like you have, oh, what was it? Grand Canyon that's there too, type of thing, like nearby. So I guess it's like the d desert as well, because it's Vegas. And there was a heavy windstorm just before. So I can imagine like the turbulence there, but when I go to like Toronto, or when I've gone to Boston, or when I've gone to into Europe, like the most of the turbulence, it's just like lasts like not even 3 minutes. It's just like burp, burp, and I'm like, oh, it's like an amusement park ride, okay, and I'm fine with it, right? I'm like, I think it's like a ride, silly as it may
Well,
be.
I'm not like comfortable with turbulence. It's a little scary because we're not on a track, like a ride track. But I will say every time I fly into Vegas, there's always turbulence when you're heading into Vegas airspace.
Okay.
I think it has to do with the mountains. I can't prove that, but I've never been on a flight that didn't have turbulence as we entered into Vegas airspace, and I've been there so many times.
I think it's the desert because we have mountains here, and I mean, like when I arrive, it's fine. It's when I arrive, like to Vancouver, it's fine. I experience hardly any turbulence, right? Obviously, when you're taking off and landing, obviously it's a different story when you're being mid-air.
Yeah, that's true. And I've been on flights before in the past where we had turbulence from the moment we took off to the moment we landed. I mean, like 3 or 4 hour flights where the plane was shaking violently the entire time. Like we didn't have one free moment. I want to say I was coming from Chicago
Well,
for the
Chicago is known
flight.
as the Windy City,
Yeah, I
so.
want to say that was, I think I was going from Chicago to Cleveland, I believe. Was that flight? And from the moment we took off to the moment we landed, it was just extremely turbulent. It makes me uneasy. So there was a guy, a pilot, that they interviewed on TMZ Live. His name is Pete Capillo, and he's actually a reality TV star. He's also a pilot, I believe. And he answered some questions about turbulence, and he said that even though turbulence can be very uncomfortable, it is rarely ever a reason that a plane has ever went down. So a lot of times people think, oh, really severe turbulence could cause a plane to crash. He said that that's not true. He said that if a plane did go down after experiencing turbulence, it would be because other factors in
Packers.
conjunction with turbulence, meaning an engine went out or they hit a flock of birds. Like it's net turbulence, he said, can't be a factor of bringing a plane down singly. It has to be other things like flying debris or losing an engine or loss of flight control. Like he said, it has to be something else in conjunction. And a lot of people were saying, really, I always thought that if turbulence got out of control, that that flight was gonna fall out of the sky. And he basically said that that's not the case. It's kind of like when you're driving over a road that has quite a few potholes, even though it feels bad and it's probably destroying your
Your
suspension.
car, yeah.
Yeah, you're not going to, nothing bad is going to happen to you. And you'll just drive out of it and hopefully get into some better road. But he said it's kind of the same thing. He was like, yeah, you just are kind of going through a gravel road, but in the air. It's never going to be that type of situation. And,
Well,
I.
it's funny because usually, like, when I went to Europe for Christmas, I had flown economy to Toronto, but then someone gave me a free lounge pass, like someone online, because they were expiring at the end of December anyway. So I got a free lounge pass. So I was just drinking wine and having nachos, and like I fell asleep so quickly. It was like an 11 p.m. flight. It was a red eye. And I didn't even feel the plane take off. That's how TKO'd I was. So usually when I'm on the plane, I'll usually eat, have some wine, and pass the hell out. So I don't know if turbulence is happening as well, because I'm just drinking and passing out. It's great.
I mean, whatever you gotta do to get through it, right? Like I
I've
get
never been scared of planes. I've never been scared of planes. So I always wanted to be a flight attendant, but I'm too short. But like it's the only way that I can fall asleep if I have to drink, like I'll drink some wine and I'll pass out. No problem.
I mean, it is very, it's kind of like riding in a car because you know how you get a baby and you put them in the car and you take them for a drive to fall asleep. I feel like if you get the right flight, like a red eye is usually good where there's no talking, there's no crying baby. It's pretty easy for you to fall asleep because they dim the cabin lights and there's kind of like that. You know how some people like the sound of white noise? I feel like the engine kind of sounds like white noise. So it's
We
like the
hadn't even
perfect.
taken off, and I was already passed out.
Oh, so you didn't even need the engines. You were just sleeping.
Oh, yeah. I don't even know how it happened because usually I like seeing it take off. I like seeing the plane take off and land because I'm one of those crazy people.
I always look out my window to make sure when we're taking off that the flaps are down. Because I don't know if you know this, but a commercial airline cannot take flight without the flights being retracted. So I always look out the window just to make sure because I'm a aviation safety buff, and I've watched quite a few of the aviation documentaries, and I know that there's been several crashes with mass fatalities where the captain or co-captain forgot to retract the flaps during takeoff. And no commercial airliner can take off without them being retracted because it just weighs too much. And the only way to increase the wind over the wing to get enough lift to go into the air is through a retracted flap. And you know what a flap is, right? It's a little thing at the back of the wing that go that bends down.
Yeah.
So do you do that too? Do you like make sure that the flaps are down? Like, am I weird? Am I like a weird person?
You're just a weird person because honestly, that flight that I took, that red eye that I took, I didn't see nothing. I was already passed out. No eye masks needed, nothing. I was already TKO'd from the wine. So I woke up mid-flight. I'm like, wait, where are we? Like, I knew where we were, but I'm like, wait, I had to go to the map. I'm like, oh shit, we're already in Winnipeg? Like, and my flight was to Toronto. I'm like, oh, we're already halfway there. I'm like, okay, when did this happen? No, I didn't
See,
hear no announcements, nothing, nothing. I was gone.
I'm a little more paranoid. Like, I have to, once I see that everything is okay, though, I'll go to sleep. But like, that's important. And also, when you're landing, Gina, you have to make sure that the flaps are retracted, because you can't land. A plane can't fly slow enough to land without the flaps. It'll fall out of the sky. So like,
No,
that's
I'm always up when it's landing, but I don't know what happened when I departed that I just passed out. It's never happened. It's only happened this one time where I was like
I'm
gone.
paranoid. I'm paranoid though. Like I'm a passenger seat driver too. Like when I'm in the passenger seat, I'm like watching the driver. Like I'm just a paranoid person, right? Like I have to watch, and I have like that constant worry. So I can't relax. I have to, as though, because you know, if you think about it, what am I gonna do if the flaps aren't retracted? I can't get into the cockpit and retract them. So like me knowing isn't gonna change anything, but for some reason I can't find peace until I know.
Yeah, I
I
don't
don't
know
know.
what you would do.
Well, right, what am I gonna do? How am I gonna retract them from my seat? You know, like I don't know why I need to see that it's done for me to be okay. Because even if I saw that it wasn't, what am I gonna do? Go and try to knock on the cabin door because the flight attendants will arrest me. You know, like what am I gonna
Exactly, and you will not be able to fly again.
Well, exactly. So what exactly am I gonna do? Nothing. But for some reason, I need to know that in order for me to feel safe, even though it's air travel is the safest mode of transportation on this planet. I still feel like I need to know that it's safe for some reason. So, Gina, have you ever
Yeah.
been at a concert and somebody passed out? So, I
Not
just.
near me, but I've heard that it's happened at the same concert.
Yeah,
It usually involves boy bands.
Also, it's. Wait, so. Do they pass out because they're freaking out that they see the boy band up close, or do you think they're passing out because they're sick?
When I was younger, boy band up close. As I got older, too much alcohol in the system.
Oh, so it's like drunk people. Because I was wondering, because you know, I go to concerts, and a lot of times when they put too many people in these venues and like the floor where this you have to stand, like the pit. It can get really hot and people
It
can be
can
de
get,
e like
yeah.
you can get dehydrated or
You can, because then it's so dumb because I've been to Backstreet Boys like that, and I'm like, no, like, I couldn't go get water because I didn't want to lose my spot. Like, couldn't drink beforehand because I didn't want to lose my spot to go pee. Right? Like, there were so many things, so many factors, but I was fine. It was hot, but yeah, I guess they only had like, it was only like 20 or 30 people per section that had stand up only. So it wasn't like congested, if that makes
Well,
sense.
no, that makes sense. So Katy Perry recently had a show and she had to stop the show because somebody passed out and
Yeah,
they.
and it was a young fan in Detroit.
That's so scary though, right? Like, because okay, I don't want to get weird, but do you remember back years ago, Travis Scott had a show where people were trampled and hurt, and after
People were died.
right, multiple people, and he didn't stop the show, if I remember correctly, and a lot of
He
people did.
didn't.
A lot of people didn't know what was going on, and
There's a
that was
documentary on that too on Netflix.
that kind of opens your eyes to when you put 10, 20, 30,000 people in a small place, that you're really risking the safety. Because if you put too many people on the floor in the pit, how would you know if someone passed out, or because you can't see them, you can't see the floor, and you don't know if they're incapacitated, if they're being stepped on, if they're having a medical emergency. And it kind of makes you wonder, how do they monitor the well-being of all of these people? Because who's to say no one notices someone on the floor until the show is over, when people finally start to disperse? It's kind of scary to think, because if, say, for instance, because you know, when it comes to being front row at a show, you have to wait in line outside, right? So you're not going to the bathroom. You're probably not drinking as much as you should. You're not hydrating. You're not eating properly, because if you leave that spot, you lose your place. And in order to be where you want to be at that show, you have to stay there for hours and hours and hours to get front row. And then when you get in for the show, they're going to let you in hours before the show starts. You're still not hydrated. You still didn't get anything to eat or drink, because again, if you go anywhere, you lose your spot. So I think a lot of people don't realize that our bodies are not meant to go 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 hours without eating or drinking just to
That's
get
a,
that.
like a festival. That's like at a that was at that Astroworld festival, and there is a documentary on that because I saw it on Netflix. That's at the Astroworld World Fest like festival. It's on Netflix. If you haven't watched it, watch it. But in my case, it was maybe 3 hours. Like I for Backstreet Boys, I don't even want to say 3 hours. Maybe less than that, 2 hours.
Well, some people are pretty
Right.
diehard. I remember back when I went to see Lady Gaga, back when I think she had the Monsters Ball. She was pretty new at the time. Not new, but not where she is now. And I want to say I was downtown for something else. Her show was the next day. And while I was downtown, I saw there were people sleeping outside of the venue where her show was going to be the next day. And that's pretty diehard, Gina. That's pretty diehard. They were waiting outside the day before because they wanted to be right up front in the pit area, because there's no assigned place for you to get into the pit. It's just wherever you are in line when they open the door. And the first thing I thought was, ew, when I go to a concert, I want to take a shower and get ready first. They're just laying on the ground. So I was like, you're not even gonna like, you're gonna look a mess. Right, Gina, like you're gonna look a mess. You slept outside on the ground and now you're gonna go into the show. You're not even gonna be like looking nice and dressed nice and fresh. You're gonna smell like the concrete.
Yeah, you're gonna smell like coochie outside. No, thank
That's
you.
yeah, that was my first thought. And then after that, I was like, where are they going to the bathroom? Because the venue is closed. Right? Because I was like, it's nighttime, the venue's closed. Like, how are they even using the bathroom? Where are they getting food? Where are they getting drinks? And then all these things go through my mind. I think a lot of people don't realize the risks that they're taking to do these types of these shows. Because this show, luckily, Katy Perry was very
Proactive.
proactive. She stopped the show. They assist this person. They got medical attention.
She assists the person too, right? So, or
Yeah, she ran
this
to the
young
person's
fan.
side and wanted to make sure that she was okay. And medical professionals were there immediately. And it just makes you realize, guys, when you're at these concerts, when you're doing these shows and there's 10, 20, 30,000 people in one place, that's never a good thing. There's so many dangers that we're not accounting for when it
Well,
comes to that.
after the Astroworld debacle happened, right? These things were happening again, and people would be like, "Okay, stop the show! Like, someone's fainted, someone's not okay. Stop!" Like, if you re do
Well,
you remember when?
do you know the saying? They say it in aviation, our mistakes and lessons are written in blood. So in order for people to realize how dangerous these festivals and concert venues and things are, because they just want to pack as many people in as possible, because each person is a ticket price. And you know, each mistake and lesson, unfortunately, we have to learn that with blood written on the wall, people's lives are lost. And that's kind of how aviation makes changes too. After a plane crashes, they'll change the laws, and they'll go and they'll change the speculations on what can and can't happen. Like some planes didn't have proximity locators to how close you are to the ground. They didn't have, so once a plane was lost and people were lost, then they're like, oh, let's put proximity ground locators on each plane, but not until after a whole bunch of lives were lost. So these, unfortunately, these lessons are, they're written in blood in order. And you know what? This actually, I saw this on the news recently, where when you go to a train crossing, Gina, in the United States, and there's like the lights and the little awning that goes down that forces you to stop. Did you know that there has to be a certain amount of fatality accidents at that train crossing before they will put those lights and those barriers there? Meaning,
No.
yeah, they don't just put them there for safety. That means that there were certain amount of accidents with fatalities that happened at this railroad crossing, that they went and approved these safety lights and mechanisms and awnings to come there. And I was watching the news, and it kind of astonished me, because I was like, so you mean that someone had to lose their life, or multiple people had to lose their life at this railroad crossing before you, your city council or whatever, would approve to put the safety barriers there? And I'm like, why are we writing our mistakes out in blood? You know, why are we sacrificing people's lives when we could just automatically, if you have a train crossing on a road, put the safety lights and everything there? Like, it should be an automatic given. You shouldn't have to say, oh, well, this is a dangerous intersection. Let's consider. Like, why don't we consider all intersections to be dangerous? And we take precautions.
As far as I'm concerned, all the railroad crossings, at least within like proximity to me, they all have where like it's oncoming traffic with vehicles and whatnot, they all have those barrier crossings.
Yeah, not in the US, not initially. And if you run,
Damn.
if you pass by one that has it, I guarantee you there was an accident there that prompted that. And that's how we get stop signs replaced with signals. There has to be a certain amount of accidents in order to get it on the ballot to vote to put a red light instead of a stop sign or whatever. And it's like, I don't understand why we can't just make decisions in the best interest of the public rather than putting a dollar amount on it. Because they're like, oh, well, it'll cost a lot of money to change that. But why are we worried about money when lives are at stake? It just makes you look at things differently. And that's why I never wanted to get into government or politics, because I just don't agree with the way things are done and how decisions are made. They make it seem like people are collateral damage. And I don't believe in that. I feel like safety should be a priority, and it should be put above budgets, budget cuts. It should be put above all of that, because at the end of the day, why would you put a red light there after someone lost their life when you could have just put a red light there because it's dangerous?
Initially, yeah.
So yeah,
Damn.
I'm happy that Katy Perry was able to do that. And like you said, after that Astroworld debacle, a lot of artists have been much more proactive at watching the crowd and looking for, you know, anything that looks like a commotion that doesn't look like dancing, right? So they want to make sure that they're paying attention, because at the end of the day, Travis Scott, he lost a lot of fans, and he got into a lot of issues after that show. And I think more so artists don't want to fall into that same situation. They don't want their
Exactly.
name associated with such a horrible thing, you know. And Travis didn't tour for a while after that. You know, I think he's doing okay now, but you know, for a while his name and was a topic in these documentaries, and you know, it didn't look great for him. You know, at the end of the day, there was a lot of different things involved. Like, it wasn't just him. There were promoters, there was the venue, there was security. There's so many factors in it. But at the end of the day, people lost their lives. And, you know, now, after, like I said, after people get hurt and there's a tragedy, that's when change comes. So now we're seeing less and less of things like that Astroworld tragedy. But unfortunately, we had those people sacrifice themselves for that change. And, you know, that's just, it's heartbreaking to think you're going to a concert. I'm so excited to go to a concert and to think that was the last thing that those people did. Crazy.
Exactly. And seeing like video footage from like from their phones, like for the ones that have been deceased or still dealing, or family and loved ones that are still dealing with it. It's very tragic. So it's just like, yeah, I can't imagine my life without concerts. So I don't tend to go to like music festivals. It's more of concerts. It's in an arena. I get to go home after. Got to shower beforehand. I know where my seat is. And like they always called this city the no fun city. So yeah, nothing good, like nothing really exciting goes on here. So because we have strict rules and laws, and a lot of people can't even come up here because of, they have put gun charges, drug charges to Canada. So go figure.
So I want to talk about this story that came out. Brandi Glanville. Do you know who that is? Like, I'm not super familiar with who she is, right? She's a celebrity. She's on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And she was suffering from burns on her face. This wasn't the first time she was on in the news for something going on with her face. Remember, like, not recently, she had something going on with her face before.
I saw that too. I'm like, I don't know who this is. And then I'm like, moving on. And then, yeah.
Well, I think that she used to be married to someone famous. And I think, hold on, I'm going to look it up. Because I think she has to do with Leanne Rimes somehow. Yeah. Okay. So she used to be married to Eddie Cibrian. Eddie Cibrian is an actor. And apparently Leanne Rimes was married to another guy. And Eddie Cibrian was married to Brandi Glanville. And apparently Leanne Rimes and Eddie Cibrian left their spouses to be together.
Yep, I remember that. So Eddie Cibrian, he was on, after he did that, I think his career kind of diminished because, yeah, you don't do that. But he was on an old soap opera called Young and the Restless.
Yeah, he was on Young and the Restless. And so,
fun fact, he was in a band too called Three Deep with Joshua Moore.
A boy band?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. For real. I didn't know that. So yeah. Eddie Cibrian wasn't a boy. So wait, what was the name of that boy band? 3D? All right, so I'm Googling it now. Oh my God, he's right there. Okay, yeah, you're right. With Joshua Morrow and CJ Huer. It was formed in 1998. So they were around the same time as NSYNC and Backstreet Boys and O-Town. So question, were they popular?
They had this song called Into You.
Interesting. I'm going to have to see if I actually have heard it because I don't remember them.
I saw them live, but who haven't I seen live and skip school?
You saw them live? Where?
Here.
So they were like really popular because you knew who they were.
Yeah, and plus I watched Young and the Restless with my mom.
Oh, so you knew who he was from Young. So wait, he was on the Young and the Restless around the same time he was in the boy band. Oh, okay, I got you.
Yeah, both so Joshua Moore and both Joshua Moore and Eddie Cibrian were both on Young and the Restless at the same time.
Oh, so they used their fame from Young and the Restless to launch their boy band career, which I'm assuming was short lived, right? Like how long
it was only till 2001.
Also, they were around like NSYNC because NSYNC kind of diminished around 2002, 2003. So pretty short.
1998 to 2001.
That's so interesting because if you wouldn't have mentioned that, I never would have known he sang because he doesn't do anything that has to do with music. I never would have known that. That's a fun fact, Gina. Like, I'm impressed at your knowledge because I knew who he was, but I never knew that he was in a boy band. Okay, so back to Brandi Glanville, who was his ex-wife, who he left for LeAnn Rimes, right? And she, so the story is that she was suffering from burns on her face. And then so I was looking into it and she posted videos, which, oh my gosh, it looks so horrible.
I saw
So
that. Yeah.
she said that she put Nair on her face and it burned her
Oh,
skin.
God. Why would you do that?
So Nair is the stuff that supposedly removes hair from your body, which I don't know. I've never used it. I've heard of it. Okay, I know what it is. She said that she put Nair on her face in an attempt to kill a facial parasite that she was suffering from. Now, I don't know where she got the idea to do this, because obviously you can't self-treat yourself. You have to see a doctor or a dermatologist to tell you the best avenue or route, to help with a parasite on your face. Like, you can't just decide you're going to start self-treating yourself. Like a dermatologist, your face is very close, to your eyes and your nose and your brain and your mouth. Like, you have to be very careful with what you do with the face because they're very in close proximity to extremely important organs. So the idea that she did this, I don't know why. She put out a TikTok video trying to explain, and I still don't know why she did this, but now she is suffering from horrible skin burns. And I'm gonna go ahead and say that I don't think she can sue Nair because I'm pretty sure Nair tells you not to do this, right? Like, I don't think that she can hold Nair accountable because I'm pretty sure they tell you their labels tell you the proper way to use this product. And I know it tells you not to use it on your face,
It's
right?
funny because I'm reading some of the comments right now. She had it's like now she had facial hair and tried to remove it with Nair. No person in their right mind would think Nair would treat a parasite.
Also, now people are saying that she's making up that story. And
Well,
it was.
like, and people think that she's gone off the rails, like Delulu, and she needs help.
Well, I've heard that too, Gina, because remember, there was something else going on with her face recently about that parasite. Remember, it was like her face looked like it was deflating. And there, so this isn't her first, second, or third time in the news doing something weird. So I Googled and AI says that it's Nair is not generally recommended to use on your face. Nair is a depilatory cream that contain chemicals that dissolve hair follicles. The skin on your face is more sensitive than other areas of your body, and using Nair on it will ca could cause irritation, redness, burning, and even allergic reactions. If
Well,
you
that's
want
why they
to.
say with any like creams or anything that you try new, you want to try it on a small piece of your body first to see if you get any allergic reactions to it. But I don't know anybody in their right mind who would put Nair on their face considering it's for hair removal.
Think if she
There's
wanted to remove hair, if that was the real story, she should have got laser hair removal. That's
Exactly. I was about to say that, or a wax or something.
much safer. You can't just decide to self-treat yourself. And I tell people this all the time. And I think WebMD and Reddit and the internet is giving people the idea that they can determine the best treatment. You cannot. That's the reason why your doctor went to school for a decade in their field and you didn't. The doctor knows what is a proper treatment plan. WebMD is not a substitution for a doctor. If
No.
you want to treat something, if you want to come up with a treatment plan, you have to talk to a professional. The internet
And
is not a
whatever you do,
professional.
people, do not WebMD yourself, or you're going to go into a loophole.
Well, WebMD generally just tells you that you're dying because I've tried it.
Exactly.
No matter what you type in there, it eventually leads to your dying of something. So don't go to the doctor. And there's been times where I went on the internet and I had an issue, and then I thought I knew what was wrong with me. And I would go to the doctor, and the doctor would tell me what it was. And it was absolutely nothing close to what WebMD told me. So just, guys, just know that there's no substitution for a doctor or a specialist who went to school in that field. The internet cannot know your specific situation, and there's no substitution for that. Because some people are like, oh, it's just so expensive. I have to pay so much to see a specialist. I can just look online. Don't take shortcuts when it comes to your health, please. Don't do that.
No. We only have one life.
Well, right. And now you have one face, guys. And now Brandi Glanville is dealing with really bad allergic skin reaction burns on her face. And we don't know if it's going to be something that will heal or if she's going to have facial reconstructive surgery. We don't know what's going to happen. All because she decided to self-treat. You know, and, you know, I know at the end of the day, you know, health and wellness is a big topic these days. People are always looking for holistic things and treating themselves their own way. But I'm not against that. But I think that it's also good to get a professional opinion before you start applying things to your face. Like, just even if you don't want to go to the doctor, if you have a friend who knows a doctor, or if you have a friend that's married to a doctor, run it by somebody before you just apply it to your face, just so you have an opinion of someone who knows what's going on. Because once you do it, it's done. You know, like, you can't go back, and you never know if it's irreversible or if you're ever going to be the same after that. So at the end of the day, I hope that she's okay, and she's going to be able to recover from this. But I also hope that she learns that, you know, if you want to treat a parasite or if you want to remove hair from your face and the product says it's not made for that or don't do that, those warning labels exist because someone tried it. Okay, like, you know, when you go to McDonald's.
Well, you have the McDonald's, exactly, as they say, the McDonald's cup.
It says caution hot because somebody didn't know it was hot. Or if you, whatever, that warning label exists because somebody didn't know. And trust me, somebody made a horrible mistake, and that warning label is to be, it's there so you don't make the same mistake and you're protected. So if you're reading a label and it says what the use is for and what you want to use it for doesn't align with what that says, trust me, the FCC or FDA, whoever approved this FDA, they approved it for the uses that are listed on that bottle or package. And whatever you're using it for, if it doesn't align with that, trust me, there are people who went to school for a long time who would have listed on there if it was safe or not to use it for. And if they didn't, it's not. It's crazy that you have to explain this to people, but we live in a world, like you said, where someone went to McDonald's and they didn't know the coffee was hot. So you have to explain it to people because they don't always know. And sometimes they don't know for their own good. They don't know what's best for them. So these warning labels are very important. Read them, take note of them, and go to the doctor. Whenever I have an issue, I just go to the doctor because I don't know. I didn't go to school to be a doctor, and I want to know what's wrong. So I just go to the doctor.
Exactly.
I think we ran through all of our topics. Let me double check. I think we ran through. So this week, yeah, we made it through, Gina. Hold on. Let me check my notes just in case. Oh, wait. Did we talk about Kate Gosselin?
No, we have not.
Oh, we haven't talked about Kate Gosselin. So apparently Kate Gosselin from John and Kate Plus 8. She's kind of been gone for a while. She was off of social media. And, you know, we were hearing a lot of stories about her and her family years back. So it's kind of been quiet lately, but we found out, well, you know, she divorced John. We knew that. I'm pretty sure that happened years ago, 2009. She divorced John, and then the kids were starting to come out and say things about growing up in the family and how their lives were. And, you know, things about their parents that they didn't like. And, you know, airing out family laundry, dirty laundry in the media can be very difficult. And we recently saw that Kate resurfaced online and she's working as, what did you say, a nurse?
Yeah.
So, yes. Okay, so let's go back. The kids are all grown. Right. So let's start aging ourselves. Remember when y'all were watching John and Kate Plus 8 and the like these little kids? They're all grown. They're all adults. And Kate is an empty nester and she's living on her own with her dog. I think she has a German Shepherd and she's working as, I think, like a home health nurse. And she's kind of living like a normal life, like compared to her. Because, you know, back in the day, Kate was the original Karen. Do you remember that? So Kate Gosselin's hairstyle.
She was the number one Karen. That was where the Karen haircut came from.
Yeah. So when guys, whenever you say someone is a Karen, Kate Gosselin is patient zero. She was the first combed Karen. She and that hairstyle was also the hairstyle of the Karen. So if you ever saw a woman with the Kate Gosselin hairstyle, you're like, oh, she's a Karen or whatever. So she's a meme even to this day, because, you know, we still call people Karens to this day. So she kind of created that meme, and she took a step back from the spotlight and she's kind of living her own life and was keeping it simple. And for some reason, she's rejoined social media. So, Gina, why do you think she got a normal life? She got people to leave her alone. We're not saying her name anymore. And then she comes crawling back. Why?
Well,
why
obviously, we are saying her name because look at us now. We're talking about her. I think just because she wants to get back into the limelight.
But why? Maybe. The limelight is so horrible, Gina. Like, you can't live your life. You're always under the microscope. Like, we called this woman a Karen for decades, and we made her life a living hell. We made her every meme of the past, like, decade. Like, why would she ever want to come back to the spotlight? And now her kids have been saying mean things about her. If it was me, I would have just took my normal life and been happy with it.
You know, there's always something like up her sleeve. So it's always something with her, and it has to be something, because why would she? It's got to be something for profit. She's got like, oh, maybe dog treat sponsors, maybe this, maybe that. Like, I don't want to see her get ready. Like you said, she's the original Karen that first existed. Of like, she made the Karen haircut famous. Like, she was awful. She was an awful human being. I was not a fan of hers. She was horrible. The way she talked to her ex, the way she talked to her kids, the way she treated her kids, like the way she sent her kids away because one of them wasn't like. I think he had ADHD or something. I don't want to say that was the case, but like they went to go live with his dad. Like, she treated these kids like they were like money, basically. They were income to her, basically.
I agree with you. And she's coming back for more, right? Remember recently, like within the last year.
And I think she was on Dancing with the Stars too at one point.
Oh, yeah. She was a A-list celebrity at one point. She was everywhere. But like I said, we gave her hell. We didn't have a lot of nice things to say. So the fact that she's crawling back for more, it's like if you successfully leave the limelight and you're able to live a somewhat normal life, I don't know what would possess you to come back unless there's a TV show or something. Like you said, there's something in the works. But again, if you went through what she went through, you know, no one ever had anything positive to say about her. So if you went through that and you survived and you came out on the other side and you were able to have a somewhat normal life, I would be happy with that. Remember Casey Anthony, you know, because we know the horrible story that comes with her, with Kaylee Anthony. She recently resurfaced on TikTok. And it's like, why would you want to come back into the public eye after all of that? We have nothing nice to say, right? We have nothing nice to say. Why would you even re-enter? Like, if you were able to weasel your way out and not be able to be criticized and constantly called names and you know, all of the negativity that came with that, why would you go and open a TikTok account so people can find you and know where to direct the hate to?
The only people that want to see her are people that are Karens just like her.
Do you think there's fans? Do you think she has fans?
Because why else should you like be generating a TikTok account and back on social media?
I never heard anybody say anything nice about her, so I've never met a fan.
How many Karens do you know are out there in the world?
Oh, there's a lot.
There you
There's a lot
go.
of Karens.
Those are her fans.
Well, for anyone interested, she's making her way back onto social media. We don't know what she's doing, but if you want to follow her on TikTok or Instagram, she's going to be back. She's doing Get Ready With Me videos and doing dog videos and talking about her job as a nurse. So if you guys want to follow along with the original Karen, the patient zero Karen, the first Karen that we experienced, and because now she's kind of started a generation of Karens. She was the very first one. So if you want to follow along with her, she's back. I don't know if I want to follow her or
No.
whatever. Like, I think I'll pass. But like you said, if you're a fan, because obviously she has a fan, you know where to find her. Just type in Kate Gosselin and all of her social media will pop up and see what she's got going on. You want to get ready with her for work or whatever, you can watch those videos. Kind of like how people watch Gypsy Rose. You never know what people are gonna love these days, because people are very intrigued with her, and that's a little weird too.
Well, yeah, like you have different tastes for different people, right? Like some people, like I hate to say this, it's always been 90 Day Fiance for me, but now I'm like kind of shying away from it, like just because it's so repetitive, so predictable, so boring, right? But if they were to put like, and I hate to do this comparison because we can talk on and on and on about Love Island. You put a season of Love Island on, and I'm like, devoted, and it's like church for me, and it's like where I attend every day, right? Like, sign me up, right? And then where you have like the 90 Day Fiance franchises, where it's just like, I'm not amused. I'm like, okay. Like, I'm not amused. I'm not entertained. Why is this on my screen? What am I watching? Well, there goes an hour of my life or 2 hours of my life that I will never get back. Right? So it's
Yeah.
dwindling.
Well, nothing lasts forever. And I think that, this show, like you said, 90 Day Fiancé, that's been on for 11 years, going on 12. Nothing lasts forever, unfortunately. And there has to be an end. I think the longer shows, oh my gosh, we were just talking about this last week. I think E! News got canceled after like 32 years or whatever. Like, nothing lasts forever. At some point, things are dwindling. And unfortunately, even the best shows, like shows that we really love and things that we've gotten really accustomed to, it can't pass the test of time. There aren't a lot of shows that make it past season 10, let alone 20 or 30. So, once you get to that
But
point.
reality TV is always on. Reality TV, what, like, I don't know of any reality TV shows that's ended, like, unless it's like The Real World or like, but that ended years ago. But what other, like, actual reality TV show has come to an end and finished, like, entirely? Like, I can't
Well,
name any off the top of my head.
the Jersey Shore ended, but then they brought it back years later.
Exactly.
Like, some of them will end, but you're right, they'll eventually bring it back in some way, shape, or form.
Resurface.
Or, like you
Yeah.
said, with the Real World, they kind of transitioned to Real World Road Rules Challenge, and it kind of continued. So, yeah, a lot of times they try to milk the shows as long as possible. And
Exactly.
sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Like American Idol has been on for how many years, right? Like, so you think and Dance has been on for how many years? So Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Like, all these shows have all been around for many years, and there seems to be no end to them. And
Yeah.
American Idol, it's like a singing competition, so it's just like, okay, it's the same concept. Nothing
Well,
changes from it.
yeah, and but if you notice though, it's been really difficult for them to produce a big artist from the music shows. Like American Idol, they produce like, oh my gosh, Kelly Clarkson, Carrie Underwood, David Cook, David Archuleta, you know, some people that stayed in the music industry for a really long time. I think a guy named Jamal Roberts recently won American Idol, but the show has been on. I couldn't name the last five people that won. And the same with The Voice. They're not able to produce actual, like, Kelly Clarkson is a household name. She's an A-list celebrity. Carrie Underwood, A-list celebrity. Fantasia Barrino, A-list celebrity. Like, they were producing massive, you know what? In that X Factor show, they produced Fifth Harmony, which Camila Cabello is still around, you know, and Fifth Harmony has been making, they haven't been making music lately, but the girls individually were doing things. So, but the shows are still around, but they're unable to achieve that level of success that they did in the beginning. It dwindled.
Of course, I understand, but they're still around with the same concept. That's all I'm saying. Like, they're still around, same concept. Right, the concept has
they're here, but they're struggling, you know, like they have their core viewership, but like, for instance, I used to watch American Idol. I voted for Kelly Clarkson. I don't want to age myself, but I haven't watched that show in maybe a decade.
Me neither, right? But it's still around.
It's there for whoever's looking, right? It's still there. But yeah, it's definitely doesn't have the same appeal that it used to have, unfortunately.
Of course, like all shows, right? But again, it's the same concept, right? It's 90 Day as well. It's the same concept. I'm just bored of it. Like, same thing with American Idol. It's the same concept. But a person can only be amused by it for so long. And it's just like, okay. I don't even know what day it comes on anymore or what time it comes on anymore. And, like, you know what I mean? But it's still around. But, like, that's the thing. You need, for anything that's reality TV, you need something fresh, right? Like, fresh and new, not recycled, 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 right? Because the thing that American Idol has, that it's all, like, newer contestants or maybe, like, some same contestants that tried out last year didn't make it, got some words of wisdom from the judges, and then came back, right? And that's fine, but again, I don't know what we're watching anymore, basically.
I don't either. All right, guys, we're going to wrap this episode of the Pop Culture Podcast on the George Massey Show. We'll be back next week with some more cool, fun, interesting, or even weird stories that happen. Who knows what happens this week in pop culture. And thank you so much to Gina for joining me for this episode. Thank you guys for listening, and we will be back soon with a new episode, and we'll talk to you soon.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, guys. Bye.
Bye.